Good morning, 7:37, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always joins us at this time. Sheriff, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had gotten so accustomed to you being in studio. It's so different having you on the phone again. So it's a little bit weird. I'm adjusting. I'm adapting. When you and I were talking last week, you guys had just, I mean, you were like just reporting that there had been a shooting at the Essex Point apartment building, and this is off of Johnson near Olive, and we have since learned quite a bit about this story, right?
Yeah, you know, when we talked, I had just gotten some preliminary information, but what our investigators have determined through talking to the suspects and witnesses and the victims, that a 15-year-old female was having a relatively normal morning until she decided to pull a gun and shoot at her mother and her mother's fiancé while they were still in the bed. So apparently she went to the car and everything was good. They talked about homework, and then all of a sudden she walks in to the bedroom. Again, her mother and her mother's fiancé were still in bed, and then she just started firing. She fired a couple times at her mother, narrowly missing her. In fact, her mother had a head wrap on, and the bullet struck that head wrap, but luckily did not strike her.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, her fiancé did not fare well, and he was struck in the head, and he was end up being killed. So the 15-year-old has been charged with murder. We're working with the state attorney's office to determine whether we can charge her as an adult.
And do you have a motive or any kind of, like, what happened?
No, that's the peculiar part about this. We always look for, the why. And in this case, we didn't get anything. And that's why kind of my comment about a relatively normal morning, there wasn't even, based on what we have gathered, there wasn't even an argument. It was a normal morning. She pleasantries with her mother, and then she came in with a gunshot, and then she took the keys and left. Our detectives were able to locate her at her boyfriend's house, so we picked her up there.
And it was over off of Harris, I think, on the west side, off Massachusetts. So, and by the way, I was wrong. It was not Tuesday. You and I didn't talk about this. It was Wednesday, and I had been communicating with your PIO about the facts of the case. And so, wow, what a strange, strange circumstance. We also had, I think, Wednesday night, the Oakstead Mobile Home Park. I believe there were three people shot, but I don't think anybody died in this particular case, which is good news. Do we know anything more about this one?
Yeah, there were injuries to legs and arms, as I understand it. This is a large group of young people that were engaged in a disturbance, and then, unfortunately, as too often happens, there were shots rung out, and we get there, and no one's telling us anything about anything. There are conflicting statements, and we're asking if anyone was there or if anyone has any videos. We would certainly like to see it, but not being overly cooperative. And fortunately, no one's going to die from this, but it started from a group of people that knew each other and then became angered, and that anger turned into gunfire.
All right. And you guys have had a couple of others, just sort of odd ones, but at least one of them led to an arrest. You had a guy who was stealing copper, and I think, is this the same one where he was actually tried stealing it from the same place more than once?
Yeah, we got a call that he was caught on security camera earlier, and then so we started heading that way. And then he was kind enough, I guess, to do it again while we were close by. We surrounded the building. He tried to get away. He jumped the fence, climbed another fence. We had our canine speeding was on his trail. Finally, we pinned him in another fenced-in area where he surrendered. Before he surrendered, he had there's some pictures on our Facebook page, but where he had discarded a number of items, tools, basically all his tools, stolen property that he had. Much of it was copper. So we ended up arresting him for burglary, obviously, construction site, grand theft, and that sort of thing.
Is that still – see, I had thought that the copper theft wave had kind of died off. I knew it was a real problem back in, like, the, you know, teens, the 2000 teens, and I didn't think that was still really happening that much anymore. But is that back to being a problem?
Well, I think that if you talk to contractors, it's always a problem, people stealing from construction sites.
Okay.
Whether it's copper, whether it's equipment, whether it's wood. A couple of years ago, wood was a pretty high commodity.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that people will steal anything. I've come to learn that you can't count on just, you know, someone stealing one thing or the other. They're criminals, and they look for opportunity, unfortunately. And if it's copper, they take the copper. If it's tools, they take the tools. I just think that they should concern themselves with taking other people's property.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And, you know, I don't know if this is really a silver lining in it, but you know, taking something from a construction site is terrible. And I think going on a construction site when you're not allowed is a felony. It's not just ordinary trespass, in part because of that problem. But I remember when people would be, like, you know, ripping copper tubing out of vacant homes and things like that. And, you know, you make $1,000 and cost $15,000 worth of damage. It was such a disproportionate impact to the person who owned the property that I was like, it's just, you know, it's an infuriating kind of crime.
I think that tells you the mental makeup of a thief. They don't care about anyone but themselves. They sure don't care that the damage that they do is going to cause hardship. Sometimes they steal from air conditioning units, rendering them useless in a hot summer day. But they don't care. That's why they're criminals, and that's why we try so hard to put them in jail.
You made another arrest that involved some drugs and guns. What was this one all about?
Yeah, we arrested Christian Melendez. On August the 8th, a male described as wearing distinctive clothing was caught again on video, prying open the front door of a store. This one was on Kim Strand Road. He made entry and he stole about $400 worth of tobacco products. Later on that same day, he returned to the store where what it bought was closed, forced through the front doors. He stole $600 in tobacco products. I guess he couldn't get enough tobacco products. But it also cost $2,000 worth of damage, to your point earlier. They're doing a lot of damage. We were able to identify him as Christian Menendez. Was arrested at his home. The search revealed that clothes that he was wearing, this distinctive clothes. It also revealed an amount of marijuana. It looks like a pretty good amount of marijuana. Some cash. He had bullets. He had two handguns, an AR, and he is being charged with that burglary and also with those gun crimes.
He was a former felon. Is why he's not allowed to have the guns? I didn't quite catch that. Sorry.
Well, we charge him with weapons offenses. When you have a weapon or you arm yourself during the commission of a felony,
I gotcha.
That is a weapons offense in itself.
Very good. Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you, it's kind of a follow-up on you and I talked previously quite some time ago about you wanting to open two substations that I can't remember if they were reopens or if they were new opens, but I wanted to ask you how that's been turning out, if that's been producing results for you.
Yeah, we opened, when I first got elected, we opened the substation in Perdido, uh-huh. And that's going very well. We also reopened the one in Molino. Again, that was going pretty well. What my future goal is, I think I should look after, you know, the agency and the community years in advance and take a look at where we might need a substation. I've identified areas of in Myrtle Grove and also the area in Beulah because of its tremendous growth.
Yeah.
So I've had conversations with Commissioner Burgosh about potential locations, whether it is on the side of the equestrian center up there or maybe even in OLF-8. This is kind of what I'm thinking, and we can have much more serious conversations moving forward. I just think that as we continue to grow, we have to, you know, stay ahead of this growth with regards to law enforcement, because you can grow and grow, but if your community is not safe, if your resources are not in place, then eventually that growth will stagnate. It won't be worth living in those homes.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, hey, if you want to be the first building on OLF-8, you know, you can be right out front. You can have your pick of the real estate.
So, put me in the middle.
Put you somewhere in the middle. You can respond to the homes that will eventually be there and everybody else off of 9 Mile in that vicinity. Sheriff Chip Simmons, he is the sheriff in Escambia County. As always, Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.